Recording in progress.
Okay, Rabosai. Daf Lamates Amud Aleph. About halfway through. Amar Rabbi Zeira. Ki Havina, Amar Rabbi Zeira. Ki Havina Be Rav Huna. Amar Lan Hani Gargalide De Lifta. When we learned by Rav Huna, he said these Gargalide De Lifta, which are, okay, Lefes is, I think what we still call Lefes, turnip, right? Lefes is a turnip. Gargalide De Lifta, it's the Rosh says Rashi Liftos or Slice of Liftos, doesn't really make a difference. Per minu, prima rabba, or if you don't, if you cut them in big pieces, it's hadama, because that's just vegetables. Prima zuta shak, if you cut them in small pieces, shak only ibid varo. But chiasan levei rabbi Yehuda amarla, no, idi bari pri adama, they're both bari pri adama. By the minu tre, so why do they chop them so much? Ki hechi denam tek tame, in order to make their taste sweeter. Over here, it's a very short sugya. I guess it ends short and sweet. What was the reason at first that when he was by Rav Huna, what was the reason Rav Huna said that if you chop them finely, they become shahakol? So that's not 100% clear. Says Rashi here. If you chop them finely, they become shahakol. Rashi's primazuta greusahi. Greusahi. It's bad. It makes it bad. If you chop them finely, and therefore it's a, let's call it a shinoi legreusa. You chopped it and made it worse off. And a shinoi legreusa in general makes things shahakol. The Rashba, very similarly, the Rashba earlier in the sugya of Shlokos, when he was debating how we paskin by Shlokos, what if you cook something and it gets a little worse, right? That was the classic machlokos between in Hachra between Tosos and the Rif. He compares it to our sugya, says, well, by the primary the lifta, says, if not for the maskana, meaning if not for the maskana means I'm going to be fired to the Havamina. Right? If not for the maskana of Rabbi Yehuda, Dharma Haidu Grinu Fehi, the name of the Meir, have a psyche, Daitach Lomemar, Lomar Rechim Bor Rechidama, Elishakum, Shadigo Sakhla, Mifkam Pink Maihu. We thought it made it worse. The Almakam, it is a Mifkam Bishlokim, Migor Rechidama. So whatever you cook and gets worse becomes a Shahakal. Okay, he seems to think that it was cooked, frozen cooking. Not 100% clear what he means, but it sounds like he thinks they had cooked the lifta. Rashi said, we'll come back to that in a moment, that you had eaten the lifta raw. But either way, Rashi and the Rashba is very clear, and I think Rashi means that as well, even though he doesn't say, you know, in quite so many words, that Rav Huna thought you made it worse by chopping it finely, and then Rav Yehuda is mechadesh that really you made it better. I would imagine, I would imagine the machlokas here, no one really goes into, like, so what's the machlokas, right? Rav Huna think you made it worse, and Rav Yehuda think you made it better, but what does a turnip taste like?
A little bit like a potato.
Okay, so it could be that when you chop it finely, you know, it sort of loses taste. Things could lose taste when you chop them finely, but maybe it sort of loses its unique taste, but gains some more general taste, so it tastes a little less turnipy and a little sweeter. And maybe that's the machloket. On the one hand, it tastes a little less turnipy. He considers that bad, you know. Like all the machlokes in the gourmet and the balabas, right? If something tastes like nicer, is that worse or better? The gourmet says, oh, this tastes so nice. It's not like real food. Balabas says, oh, it tastes nice to my palate. So maybe that's a machlokes. I'm not sure. It's a machlokes. I don't want to say it's a machlokes in Metzias. They argued about what chopped turnips tasted like. So maybe it's a machlokes in evaluation of taste. Do we say, you know, if it tastes less turnipy, that's really great, usa? Would we say, no, it tastes sweeter? We're like sweet. We're not all gourmets. And therefore, that is not a great usa. But that's how Rashi reads it. The Ra and the Ritva here have a shita which they take throughout the perek. Right? It says the Ra, kol she'avra tzuraso, kol she'en gufo kayim, l'fi she'avra tzuraso, kol she'en gufo kayim, she'avra tzuraso, indino alav lo kayim v'milse. And the Ritva says the same thing. He doesn't say that it gets worse. He just says it changed form. The Ritva says the same thing. This is the machlokas, no chidushim here, throughout the whole perek between the Ra'ah and the Ritva, who are, we'll call them Ashitas Yachid. Again, not sure who the Ritva was, but we're someone close to the Ra'ah, versus everyone else. The Ra'ah and the Miyachas L'Ritva versus all the other Rishonim when it comes to Trima. Right, all the other Rishonim says it meant smushed. What do you call it? Mashed. What?
Pureed.
Not pure. No, pureed was exactly what Truma said. It didn't mean. He said yesh gvul. Right.
Ram was then Esau, right?
What? Esau. Right. Exactly. Ki Esau. Right. Esau slash. What was the lushan we had by the by the trima Rashi defined trima katush tzas, right? Isa katush. While the Ra'an Ritva says, no, it just meant pressed dates. Meaning, you squish them into like a big square or a big shape. But you didn't actually press them because then they would have lost their bracha. Right? Because they say anything that changes the form loses the bracha. You also have that machlokas in Meishlokos, which we're about to get to, in the order of the Gemara. Right, where all the other Rishonim says it meant that the broth is Hadama, and then you had a gazillion way machlokes Rishonim exactly in what circumstance I had to differentiate that from Meperos, while the Ra'an Ritva says no, it just means the broth is Tofel to the Yerek. But of course, Chas V'Shalom, the broth can't be Hadama because the broth is a changed form. And made payros, and therefore, made payros for them was a raya, was very nicha. And then you have to be mechalek, or you have to answer. Meperos, why Meperos is different than Maya Deshulki, Meishlakos. So that is a few places where they disagreed with everyone else. And here also in the Sugya of what Gargalidi de Lifta, I think is our Gersa. Gargalidi de Lifta, what is the Svara of Rav Huna? So I remember on Ritva saying very positive. The Svar of Rav Huna is that Shinoi Tzura. Shinoi Tzura equals Shahakol Shalom Al Yisrael. While the other Rishonim, they're not really going to say that. If Shinoi Tzura is Shahakol, so why is vegetable soup Hadama? And why is Trima Hadama, etc.? Rather, here you're going to say, like Rashi and the Rashba, that it's a shinoi ligre usa, or as the Rashba say, a pgam. So, how you read the sugi is going to depend on your general shita. Someone mentioned the machlokas about the machot zachrona what Rishonim held, about the trumas hadeshen, about the padmila, or whoever you say that jam. That was even within the other Rishonim. Do you draw the line someplace? Maybe even so, you can have sort of two approaches. The Trumas Hadeshen says, afilu, even puree, right? Marissa Pagano. Sorry, it said not. But not puree. He says you can have a change of form. But you can't lose the form legamre, right? Not ibatsura domer. While the Mechaber and the Achronim Das HaRambam, even though the Magen Avraham argued, but let's say the Rambam says even a puree, again, but no, there's some machlokes that they meant that. How far to take it for the Rishonim? Like, shinui tzura can be. What if it's an ibud tzura legamrei? Okay, that we're not sure how far to take it, but this is the basic machlokes, which is how to read the havamina of Rav Huna. Is it because shinui tzura or because of the pigam, because it got worse? There is an interesting interesting nafkamina of this, perhaps. The Nachlas David here, Rav David Tembela, the Talmud of Chaim Volozhin, he takes on the Nesivas in his Haggadah. It's the Haggadah's Maisa Nisan, I think, is the name of the Haggadah of the Nesivas. And the Haggadah's Maisa Nisan actually quotes our Gemara. He wants to have a big Chumrah, which is that if you break down the taste of the maror, you're not yotzei, right? What can you, there's probably a word for this. If you roll the maror, yeah, but so he's actually not, so he's talking about the molel. The molel means you take the maror and you apply a lot of pressure to it, and it somehow breaks down the bitterness. I don't know if there's a word for that. Lachora, Kolskin, if you would grade it, I assume.
It's talking about chrein.
Yeah, chrein. Of course it's talking about chrein. It's not talking about romaine lettuce. What?
It's crazy.
Right, but apparently in his days, like, even if you didn't grate the chrein, they would somehow pound the chrein, apply pressure, and thereby change the taste, sweeten the taste. So he says you're not yotzei. Why are you not yotzei? Big chumra. He says, hey, why are you not yotzei? He says, well, why are you not yotzei? Well, we know from Lamed Ches Amadeis in the sugya of Shlokos, what do we say here? That anything that is, and then he say, well, if shlukin is not really a shinoi, then why is it possible in maror? And the answer is okay, because you still lose the tam maror. What do we see? That there's some comparison of hilchos brachos to hilchos maror. And what do we say? He says we see from there that even something that's not a shinoi for brachos would still pass the maror. Certainly something that is a shinoi for brachos would pass the maror. So anything that for brachos purposes is considered a loss would certainly pass it from being tam maror. Anything that changes the tam for brachos would change the tam and make it not tam maror. And therefore he puts together lamed ches amad beis, lamed ches amad aleph. If on lamed days we say anything that's considered a loss of time for brachos is considered a loss of time for maror. At least, even so, it's not a loss of time for brachos, might be. But certainly, and in Lamed Ches and Aleph, we see that that grading this gargalide delifta, and that's why everyone applies him to grading maror, even though he says molel. I don't think molel means grading, but the same basic idea. He says, he quotes the Rafi, he says, it's pogim the tam. So he puts two and two together. If it's pogim the tam of the lifta, and if it's pogim the tam of the lifta, then it's possible for maror, because we see that grating something is considered to be pogim the tam.
Molo was grinding.
What?
Molo was grinding. The Yiddish mole machine, the grinder.
That's the same as grading,
right? Yes. Okay, maybe he does. He's talking about grinding and not the Hebrew molo.
In my book, they translate the word as leforer.
Aha, okay, fine. Grinding, done. Then that makes the parallel very good. Okay, he must be influenced by the Yiddish. Okay, not like molo and molilos. Okay, so he says, if you grind the maror, right? He says, if you grind the maror, why do people grind the maror? To take out some of the bitterness.
Grate
the maror, right? You grate the maror, whatever. If you grate the maror, it's like our lead in the lifta. And, okay, the fact that maskani says it makes it sweet doesn't save the maror, right? Oh, the maskani, it's sweet. That's certainly not going to help the maror, right? We see from here that grating something is considered a shinoi ta'am and a pagam of the ta'am, and therefore you're not yotzei maror because it doesn't have ta'am maror. And then the Nachlas David says back to him, he says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. He says, the sugya of Rav Huna, in the first day about the gargalita lifta was not because you ruined the tam. No, it wasn't ruining the tam at all. It was just the shinoi tsura, right? What's the lashon? Haim shim the nishtana tor hapri, because it just doesn't look the same anymore. V'havisar Rav Huna, they don't look the same anymore. If they don't look the same, I'll figure out how they taste. If they don't look the same, Rav Huna said it is not shahakol because it doesn't look the same, and therefore, but looking the same is not necessary for maror. Maror doesn't depend on looks, and therefore he's still yotzei maror. So he wanted to say a nafgamina, says the maybe you could say a nafgamina is how about grated or ground up maror. Right, which is parallel to gargalita lifta. Just the only thing is, you can't say lamaskana, it's kosher because it makes it sweeter. Because making it sweeter is for sure going to pass on maror. Right, so you have to take away Rav Yehuda and say, what do we see from here? So the Rambam say, here you have the nesivos, or the chabstas, whatever you call it. Right, I've got his meisen nisan. Says the nesivos. He says, tussle. Because grating or dicing ruins the tam. And what's the proof? The proof is our sugya. While the second Nachlas Dov, it says no. It says grating doesn't ruin the tam. It just changes the appearance. And changing the appearance of problem of his brachos, but it's not a psul and maror.
The thing is, the normal way, when you buy a jar of horseradish, there's no such thing as buying a solid, jar of horseradish. It's ground. I mean, that is the way you eat horseradish.
So I admit there's a lot of assumptions going on here. And after all, in brachos, doesn't everything depend on the normal way, et cetera, as we'll see in a moment?
Yes, but
I think that the nesivos would say, no, in brachos, it depends on the normal way to eat it, et cetera, et cetera. But in the mitzvah of maror, no, you're supposed to eat this. You're supposed to eat the maror. Brimri Russo, not the normal way. You're supposed to eat it the bitter way, as is. And therefore, anything which is halachically considered a pagam would be pogim it, even if that's the normal way. Yeah, but it's not the normal way to eat it if you're trying to be bitter. It's the normal way to eat it if you're trying to have delicious food. But maror is not about delicious food. It's about bitterness. And basically, he says, our sugya proves that halachically it's considered a pagam to chop it up because it loses its taste. And Nachlas Dov says, no, our sugya didn't prove any disorder. Our sugya just proves it looks different. But I admit, you could have disagreed.
Can you just cite another defense of grated maror is just that our sugya is talking locally about this turnips. Sugya doesn't say grating vegetables make them taste worse. It says grating turnips make them taste worse.
So I think the truth, I might have given the wrong impression. There are probably various ways to defend each of these shitas, having nothing to do with our sugya, but it so happened that both of them were based on our sugya. And I think they're starting with something else. They're starting with saying that, look, we can't just make up what tastes bitter, what doesn't taste bitter, etc. The halacha tells us what tastes bitter, what doesn't taste bitter. Even if I change it a little, that's not going to change the halacha unless it's a halachically recognized change. Is this a halachically recognized pagam of the taste? And so this when the Siva says, sure it is. Lucky it guardedly just lift it. Halachically takes away the taste. And the Nachlas Dov is saying, no, you didn't find anything of the sort. And, although, of course, one could say, no, we're just supposed to use our judgment on a case-by-case basis. On what? No, Adrav, you might say it makes it sweeter so it would be Hadama, or to normally be Hadama, but that doesn't help for the mitzvah.
No, but I'm saying, you can't say this is keeping it zero.
Oh, did you say Chavos Nachlas or Nachlas David?
Nachlas David.
According to Nachlas David, would you...
And the only reason why I'm making a secret, Nachlas David says that really reading is a problem, the sug is a problem of Shinu Tzura, but the Maisha, this Gemara went through a Shinu Tzura. So there should be shahakol. It was the maskana of Gemara that it was the matik, but that's only when it's tikkun bishul v'echshero. Says the Gemara, this is not the normal way to. This is not the
maybe
goal.
It might be.
Isn't the goal of Gemara?
Maybe that's the normal way to eat horseradish. I don't know. It's the normal way to eat horseradish. You're making an assumption.
So you wouldn't go based on Pesach, and the goal is to keep. The whole point is.
No, for brachos depends on in general. I don't know, do people bite like big piece of horseradish all year long? I don't think so. It seems weird to me. Okay, but still.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically Rabbi Huda says, no, it's actually better. I mean, we haven't gotten it's better because it's sweeter. But one second, sorry, I didn't hear your question. Okay,
what they mean to say, it seems to imply that the issue is an issue of taste and not an issue of
zero. So, give me a second. Okay, so let's just follow this through to what does Rabbi Yehuda say? So, according to Rashi and the Rashba, it's very poshut. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not griusa. It even seems like some sort of iluya, right? It's really shinoi leiluya. It really makes it better. And therefore, there's no problem. According to Ron Ritva, what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? After all, it is a Shinui Tzura. He's not going to deny that. So, therefore, with the Ron Ritva conclude, he says, Ein zehavar surasso kemish zetikon beishulo vehechshero. It's not about whether it tastes better or worse. He says, no. He says, the reason that they dice them so finely is so that it will be sweet, meaning this is the proper way to cook it, right? This is the proper way to prepare it. And when you're eating something in the normal way of preparation, then even if there's a shinoi tzura, it still keeps its bracha, like shemen zayis, right? Shemen zayis, even though it's a shinoi tzura, still keeps its bracha. Wine would have kept a bracha if it didn't get a better bracha. Bread would have kept a bracha, except it didn't get, it has a better bracha, because that is the right way, normal way to prepare it. That's what he says. Also, Ein Zavar Asuras says, the Ritva Kinshu Os Latakin Vishulo U Lehachshiran, the proper mode of preparation is, it's not just stomach change. This is not stomach change. It's not stomach change, which like, oh, well, it tastes the same, but it looks different. No, this is a necessary step to process it the right way. And this is the intended product, let's say. If it's the intended product, then that is an exception. So what is Rabbi Yehuda saying for them? Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that the intended product, right, the normal intended product is Hadama, even if it looks different. Even if it looks different, and that's why this is an exception. Eitan.
Because Nagos David says exactly the opposite. He's within the Pshat of Ravuna, that Surah and this Shira Surah. But then he says, at the end, the Afilur of Yehuda, the Pali Chayim Mishun, the Ishni Le'iluya, the Zeshai Le'in Bracha. The beginning of the last paragraph.
Okay, yes, but you have to also look at what he says in the first paragraph. He says, he says, Rabbi Yehuda ka'amar d'hai d'perminu ki heich d'namtik tfei v'kein rashbicham azem estama omeid l'kachlo. Omeid l'kachlo ichbas lan b'shinui Torah. If it's omeid l'kachlo moshem and zayis, then v'orch lay bori pri ha'etz after nishtana toar ha ha'pri. So okay, he's interpreting Shtani Liluye as Omeid Lekach. You're right, he says Omeid Lekach, and then later on he says Ishtani Liluya. But the point is, it's not that it's not bad, it's that it's Omeid Lekach. Now again, Omeid Lekach and Shtani Liluya would probably overlap a lot because things are usually intended to be used in their best way. But the Ikar, I would say for this, that for Rashi and the Rashba, the point is Shtani Liluya, not Legreit Musa. For the Ra'ah and the Ritva, the point is that it's this is Omeid Lekach, this is the proper way to use it.
The Ritva sounds a little different. He says, Shu'ushad Lepakid Bishulam Lahashiran. Let's say that there's like a Derech per se. It just sounds like he's attached it since he's doing a productive activity. That's why this is the Ra'ah.
So. I mean, first of all, I am reading him in light a little bit of, yeah. Even though it's a very similar lashon, right? Kim Shido Tikun Bishula, just a slightly different part of speech. This is the way, yeah. And here he's saying you are sort of fixing it. What I don't want to say, which I think you want to say, is that what the Ritva holds that any Shinun Tsura is Shahakol. Unless it's good, in which case it's hadama, because that's not his general shita, and I think that would be a little too fine a distinction. So I think he really means the same thing. Also, latakin, meaning not latakin, meaning this is a good thing. Latakin, like this is the way to use it properly. So I'm reading in the same as the Ra'ah. Okay. Yeah.
Assuming the Rav and Ritva say the same thing, maybe the machlokas is the following: that the kaitra of Huna, the issue is the issue of eating alone, and when you make it into small pieces, from the point of view of eating, it's a shinui b'reisa. But Rav Yehuda is saying that since there's another aspect of it where it's improved for the purpose of bishul or what do you call it? Tikkun bishul v'achshero. That's not a direct eating issue. That's a separate issue. But since it's improved for that, therefore it still keeps the same rock.
Interesting.
Something missing here in the understanding of my focus. I'm not sure if you can say that.
Right. So I think maybe what you're suggesting is, could you go so far as to say, you have to check if the psak works out. Okay, this would be a little wild. That Rav Yehuda is. Lishitase on Daf Lamed Vav Amad Aleph, who also says Kimcha Dechiti is Hadama. Why does it say Kimcha Dechiti is Hadama? That's also a Shinui Tzura. So maybe he thinks Kimcha Dechiti is Hadama because no, this is Tikuno. This is like a step in the proper use of it. You're supposed to grind into flour and then bake it into something. Obviously, no one thinks you usually eat flour, but it's not a shinui tzura because you're supposed to turn it into flour on the way to making bread. Maybe here also, it's not clear, do you eat them raw, according to the Ron Ritva, or do you eat them cooked? Maybe you eat them raw, but nonetheless, this is a step towards making a delicious cooked product. And therefore, that would be a big chiddush to say it's Rabbi Yehuda Lishitase.
That only works according to the Ra'ah and Ritva. It doesn't really explain my focus according to the other Rishonim.
Correct. I thought you were asking according to the Ra'ah and Ritva. Right. So it's interesting. According to the Ra'ah and Ritva, is Rabbi Yehuda just saying, which they sort of make it sound a little, that Rav Huna could not imagine why you would do this. Rav Yehuda says, no, there's a very good reason, but could it be that Rav Yehuda's Lashita say that something sort of on its way in the right process, even if it's not at the end yet, is still not considered Shinoi Tzura? So after all, how could it be Shinoi Tzura if, like, this is what you're supposed to do? That would be very interesting. I know they really don't give too much away here. I admit. They don't give too much away here, I admit. I will maybe mention one other thing in a second. Let me mention one other thing in a second.
Isn't it about focus whether Shemin Zayin is really a Zayin or just something, a din that it has to be Shemin Zayin?
Correct.
The same kind of mark?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, let me take this one. Yeah.
So can we read it to you? Can the real Zashem where it says that the high different mikvot fei give it another command? It doesn't say it's sweet. It says you do it in order to make it sweet. So maybe it's not sweet now, but it's a process that once you cut off the pieces, it becomes sweet eventually.
Okay. So let me take one more step and ask the following question: are you eating this? These guys related to lifta, cooked or raw? What does Rashi say?
Raw.
Rashi says raw. It's not clear why Rashi says raw. Like, why does Rashi say raw? But Rashi says, we'll see, machlokas, why Rashi says raw. Rashi says you're eating it raw. Okay, does everyone agree? A lot of Rishonim sound like you're eating it cooked, although they don't necessarily say so very explicitly. The Or Zeruah says for sure you're eating them cooked. The Rashi makes it sound like you're eating them cooked. It says, Mifkam bishlake, in its cooking, unless he just means to make some parallel between this. But the Rashi sounds like you're eating it cooked. Even though in the Ritva really do sound, I'm not, the Rashi sounds like you're eating it cooked. The Or Zeruah is very explicit that you're eating it cooked. So the question is, what's the case? The case is, says Rashi Chai. Says the Or Zeruah and the Mashmaus of the Rashba Shalom, cooked. Why does everyone think it's important to say their Shita? So let's start with the Shita, right? Why not raw? So what's the simple pshat? Well, what are the two pshatim? Why might you say this is not a raw lifta? Because if you hold like...
The riff.
Like which riff?
The riff that holds the shalok doesn't affect the shalok.
Okay, let's... That's why you would say it is shaluk, but Rafuna thinks it does affect it. Right? They're both talking the same case. So what are the Bahag and Rav Haigon in the Torah say?
It's not the direct eating a raw.
Yeah, like, is anyone here ever eaten a raw turnip?
No.
What? No, I mean, that's Mestaber. Again, they have two McCarthy also. We obviously don't fully understand the way they used to eat. But, like, I never ate a raw turnip, but I've eaten cooked turnips. And that is also the sheet of Rashi, quoted by everyone except for Rashi and Ardaf. The Meiri says, and Rashi says that raw turnips are shakol because you only eat turnips cooked. It's totally against Rashi and Ardaf. All Rashi's Talmidim quote that as well. Very, very strange. Meaning, I can't resolve that, Sira. The Meiri didn't even mention Rashi and Ardaf. Maybe he had a different Gersa. I don't know. But let's leave that aside. So one possibility is the Behag and Rav Haigon in the Rif say, because turnips are only eaten cooked, or let me say it a little better. What's the bracha on turnips? The bracha on whole turnips, right? Birkas halefes, if it's not diced, right? Not diced, not the machlokas here. So what if it's chai, and what if it's shalok, is a three-way machlokas rishonim. The Behag and the Rav Haigon in the Torah and others say Chaya Shahakol Shalukas Hadama, because it is like Krov and Selek and Kara, right? Which only eat cooked. The Yesh Omer in the Torah, we have no idea who that is. I haven't found anyone who actually says. It says Adraba. It's like Tumi Vikarti. They say Kimo, what was the order? Krava, Kara, Visilka. Doesn't matter what the order was. Kimo Tumi Vikarti. Nope, it's normally in raw. Again, a little strange for our taste, but so is the Tumi Vikarti. And the Orzorua says explicitly, no, either way. Hadama, because you eat it both. It's good both ways. Right, it's good both ways. Like what? Like Tosa says, something that's good both ways is Hadama both ways. Now, why does the Mashmasa Rashban say, so it could be, because raw lefes is never Hadama. So there's nothing to talk about. You never eat raw lefes. You never eat a raw lefes, and therefore, what's the point of arguing about prima zuta? You never eat raw lefes anyway. Yes, I do. Of course, the Orzorua doesn't say that, because the Orzorua says that either way it's Hadama. So why does he think it has to be talking about cook? Says the Orzorua. He says, because there's no difference in quality of raw lefes between fine and coarse. Meaning prima rava, prima zuta, if it's raw, what difference does it make? It all tastes the same. Like there's no havamina that it's bad if you chop it finely. When you're eating something raw, it's good either way. Only when you cook it, you know, if you chop something in big or small pieces and cook it, it could change the taste of lagamri. Right? Only cooked lefes tastes different if it's fine or coarsely ground or coarsely chopped. Okay, that's his sheath on lefes. So he says, b'mtzias, that's the only option. That's said, g'ach l'chaim, ali prim rabin l'vim zutra, d'vadit ar vayim r'vir v'damel, l'irein eshem v'sholim k'amar. It must be that you cooked it. Okay, maybe I went a little far. I don't know if he says no. He doesn't explicitly say there's no difference in taste. Maybe he just means that. You know, let me take it back. Let me take it back for a second. He says, if you don't cook them, then maybe it's different. If you don't cook them, it's not a shinut. If you don't cook them, well, sure. No, I'll take it back. He says, only cooked lefes tastes different if it's finely chopped versus coarsely. If it's finely chopped. Okay, and therefore, what difference does it make unless it's cooked? How about Rashi? Why does Rashi say that it has to davka be raw? Why can't Rashi say it's cooked? Why can't Rashi say it's cooked? So, you could say Rashi is the Yesh Omrim in the Torah. That would be, after all, we don't know who he is. Maybe he's the Yesh Omrim in the Torah, because cooked lefes is never Hadama. Maybe, yeah? What? Yesh min haga'onim. Oh, I didn't mean he is, but he could be the same Shita, right? But the Rashbeit says a different Shad and Rashi. Says the Rashbeit, he says a different Shad and Rashi. In Rashi, he says, hold on.
You can't. The whole day cook is never Hadama.
That's a Yesh Omer in the Torah. Mm-hmm. I think it's crazy also, but it's there, right? V'yesh Hadama shekos v'hefech. There it is. Mm-hmm. Right? And then the Torah himself agrees, says, no, everyone knows Lefes is better. Well, what's the simple pshat? The simple pshat is the Rashbates. What does the Rashbates say pshat and Rashi is? He quotes Rashi, and what does he say?
Okay,
says here is a rab zel it's Rashi Ushan Chaim Koyim Shem Haki was like the Yusuf Loni Rechel Shakol the signal about Yusuf Dibe Shabishla Mali Pimurav Reali Zutri Zen Nirim Pirusha. He says no, because cooked is equally good whether Pirmaraba or Zuta. Right?
Exactly the same phrase as the Yosemite.
And just the opposite. As the Yosemite, just the exact opposite. What do you want me to do? But raw is not as good Zuta. Right? And therefore, Rashi Mitzia says, come on, cooked. It's delicious either way. You chop it up, you cook it into a soup, and they're all good. Why would anyone think to differentiate? Only raw, it's very different. And you sort of see this far there. If you chop something into little pieces and eat it raw, it's not so mishmak. Right? If I were to, I mean, some people do like this, like, very fine tabbouleh kind of salad. But I don't know. If I were to serve you a plate of raw carrots, sliced into slices. If you like carrots, it's delicious. If I were to show you a plate of raw carrots diced into tiny pieces, it would not be very, like, no one likes eating, like, tiny pieces of things. Like, that's not as good. It's good to eat nice, bite-sized chunks, at the very least. So maybe that's Pshat and Rashi. And then maybe you could say a tremendous chiddush. Maybe then you could say a chiddush. That then, what is Rav Yehuda saying? According to this, what's Rav Yehuda saying? Maybe you could go so far as this. Lefizeh, if this is Pshat and Rashi, and I think it is Pshat and Rashi, why? I'll tell you two reasons why I think it's Pshat and Rashi. Number one, that Yeshua with the Gona was really weird. Like, really? Yeah?
We did have the weird Rashi in the last Sidiya, so hinting that he thinks that Shlokos are Mishako.
You mean in the sugya of Bar Kafra and his Talmidim, where he had a line where he said, which should you say the bracha? He should have asked me, which should you say the bracha on Tepat or the others, implying they were all Shahakol, implying that maybe he's Machriya, the Shlokos are Shahakol, which might mean that he thinks Shlokos are Shahakol, which would, I guess, I mean, the Bach is a different shot of the Yeshua over the Golden, but I guess that would fit the Yeshua over the Golden, except that no one passed that way. It would still be strange, because I'll tell you, A, it's a strange psak. B, the Ritva has the same line of Rashi and explicitly says, and of course we pass in that Shlokas are Hadama. So that makes me think, and the Maharsha, when he analyzed that line of Rashi, says, oh, what he meant is, should I say a bracha one to Pacha the others, or should I not? But he didn't read Rashi your way. So given the Maharsha doesn't read that Rashi your way, that's why I didn't mention Shir. And the Ritva has the same line in Rashi and obviously doesn't mean it that way. So I'm not going to build anything on that line in Rashi. But I hear you, Taina. What I want to say is maybe this. According to this, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? So maybe Rabbi Yehuda saying is he's arguing Bimitzias. I want to say he's arguing about how to measure taste, right? Bimitzias, you know, or in how to measure taste, right? Arguing Bimitzias, and Rav Huna thinks that Prima Zuta tastes bad, and Rav Yehuda thinks Prima Zuta tastes good. Right? That's one possibility. And they're arguing with Sias. Earlier I would say, well, they shouldn't be arguing with Sias. They're just arguing about what kind of taste they're machshit. You know, whether they're machshit fine tastes or sweet tastes, etc. But still, they're arguing Mitzias or in taste. But maybe you could say a different pshat. Maybe you could say there's a big lumbish pshat here. And that's why Rashi had to say chai. Why did Rashi say chai? Because maybe Rashi says, it's not mistaber to me. Anyone should really be arguing about taste. Everyone knows they ate it all the time. They ate it before they served in the dining room yeshiva. L'chor, they knew what taste it was. Maybe they're arguing and dip. Why? Rav Huna says, since now it now it's not really good. Is Greuta, you say Shahako. And maybe Rav Yehuda would disagree. Maybe Rav Yehuda would say, even though now it's not so geschmack, but what's the Lashon? I read, was it El Yashiv who made this deek in the Lashon? Says, Ki heichi dinam tiktame, in order that the taste will become sweet. Maybe the point is, raw is not so good to eat when it's finely chopped. But when you cook it, it becomes better. And in the end, you're going to cook it. In the end, you're going to cook it. Why do they chop this? In the end, you're going to cook it. And maybe that's a sha'ach lochai, you're eating it raw, but it's really going to be cooked. Is that what you meant?
Sort of.
You want to say better? Okay. Maybe that would be a big chiddush, since chopping improves it in the end. It's still hadama, and maybe the fundamental machlokes it didn't hear. What if it's not really so much better right now, but it's better in the end? And then Rabbi Yehuda would be very much l'shitase on daf lam vav amud aleph about like just like kimcha d'chiti. Kemach of chita is not as good as a kernel of wheat, but it's on the way to becoming a proper product. It's on the way to becoming a good product. And maybe there also, Rabbi Yehuda would say, even though right now it's not good, so geschmack to eat wheat flour, still, since it will become a good product, therefore, since this is the way to process it, to make it better in the end, it doesn't lose its bracha.
At what point, Rabbi Yehuda, here, does it become good?
When you cook it. When you cook it. Since chopping improves it, in the end, when you cook it,
so it's not about holding the CS based on what the Rock Reed says about the fact that when you cook it, it doesn't matter whether you chop it or not. Right? Rav Yehuda still be holding the CS on that.
Okay, maybe I'd have to just change one of those words and say it's not equally good, it's actually better when you chop it, and everyone admits. Meaning, I'd have to say it's actually better zuta, right? What I'm claiming is, l'kuli alma, raw is worse prima zuta, and cooked is better prima zuta. Maybe they're not arguing on Metzias at all. They're just arguing whether you go by the end or whether you go by now. That would be a big chiddush. Say they're not arguing Metzias, I admit. But maybe you could say that. Could you bring that back? Their argument for also, they don't sound that way. They sound more like they're arguing Metzias. They say, Rav Huna, I have no idea why anyone would chop it. After all, it seems silly to him to reveal to him the secret recipe. But theoretically, they don't sound like that. Theoretically, you could say a similar thing. What if the Shinoi Tzura? But it's on its way to it becoming its final form. And that's the machlokes of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda.
To defend the Yeshorim and the Tor, mm-hmm. right? So if we're talking about the heads or the tops of the turnip, it could be not talking about the root, could be talking about like the turnip greaves, which are like leafy vegetables, which of course would be like hadama ben shakol. And it's very big, like soul food vegetables.
That would be a big chiddush. Jastro seems very convinced that it comes from the lashon of galgal of something round, and then it would have to be the actual root. Could one disagree? Okay, that would be an interesting. And then you're saying the Torah, the machlokes in the Torah is just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Okay, fascinating. Could regards our Gemara could very well be because the Torah wasn't quoted from our Gemara. That could be, it was a misunderstanding. Okay, if you look at the first in the Torah, they want to say maybe they're different countries, etc., and they make it much more complex. Anyway, Lemaisa, the simple shot is that it is a machlokas in Metzias. Could you say it's machlokas in Din? If you did want to say it's machlokas in Din, you would have to be mudaik in that. You chop it in order that later it will become good, even though, you know, it hasn't reached its sort of final stage yet. And you have to say you're eating it raw. And the machlokas is, do you say if it's in the normal process that is good enough, which we suggested might be the machlokas of Huna at Rav Yudah Rav Nachman, Nachman Bov and Aleph, or do you say no, if right now it's not in its final form, that's not good enough. Okay, that is Efshar, but the simple shot, I admit, is that this is clearly the mainstream shot in this, that most of the Mefarshim sound like they're arguing in Metzias and not in Din.
What is the final form? Cooked?
Cooked.
So cooking would...
Yeah, you'd have to... Right, you can only say it's machlokes in Din if you assume that it's best cooked. You have to assume it's best cooked, but it's not bad raw, otherwise you're not going to have this machlokes. Okay, the last thing I just want to mention is, why did the Torah and the Rambam omit this sugya legamre? The riff in the Rambam. Omit this sugya legamre. Why did the Riff and the Rambam omit this sugya legamre? Anyone?
Because they hold it's always adamo.
So actually, the Madana Yontif on the bottom of the Rush, I should have put on the Makoros, says Madana Yontif on the bottom of the Rush say, you know why they left out the sugya? Because Rabbi Yehuda says in the end it's always adamo. And if it's always adamo, you don't need to say anything because it's not so interesting. Most things are adamo until proven otherwise. All vegetables are adamo unless you say something. Since in the end it's always adamo, there's no need to say anything. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda only has to say something to respond to Rav Huna. So it could just be that they left it out for a very technical reason. Because in the end, there's no chiddush. In the end, it's just all vegetables are adamo until you say otherwise. The Tashbeit, the Perush Rashbeit here, and the Pnei Yoshua at greater length, want to say something a little fancier. They say, we're talking about cooked ones here. And we're talking about cooked vegetables here, and it's Aliva Dorf Chista. That if the cooked form is a Greusa, is a Pagam, it turns into Shahakal. So we're talking about cooked ones, and Rav Huna says it's a Greusa Shahakal. Rav Yehuda says it's not a Greusa, so it's Hadama. But the Riff and the Rambam leave this out, because they don't pass like Rav Chista, they pass like Rav Abba, that whether it's better or worse, as long as it's edible the way we decided against the Kesa Mishnah that was shot in the Riff, it's clearly edible. Whether it's better or worse, I'm dumb either way. So then there's no makom for the machlokes. So if you ask why did the Torah leave it out, right? Hashmata Torah, HaRiff v'HaRamba. I don't know why I keep saying that. What are the two pshatim? One is the Madana Yontif. He says, because every Yerek is Hadama, unless they say otherwise, so there's no need to mention it. But what the Rashbates and the Pnei Yoshua say, they say no, alumnus. They say the machlokas is whether it's a little worse when you cook it with prima zuta or not. The machlokas is whether bishul b'prima zuta is pogim ktsas or not, which makes a difference l'fi Rav Chista, but the Riff and the Rambam Paskin against Rav Chista, and therefore there's no nafkamina for them. Okay, the Rashi just ends saying that my only problem is if this Gemara is a leaves Rav Chista, why doesn't the Rav Paskin like Rav Chista then? Because only speaking of the Amarama like Rav Chista, he leaves that Tzarkian. So that's the more clever way of explaining it.
This is the Rav point of Gas Mishnah, or the
point of either, it doesn't make no difference for us.
Because if it's, why not?
Because they only argue, what would the Rav say if it. The
either we pass Rabbi Yehuda and it's Adama and therefore it doesn't add anything according to this, or we pass Ken Hakam, or we leave this out because we pass Ken Hakam.
No! No! The Rish says all shlokas are Adama, even to me character.
Right.
And we think the Rambam agrees with him. So it's the Rambam, according to...
I actually have my notes that we said the two parts might be different because it's still there after Korban. It just get worse. In the case of... Never mind.
Okay. Okay, anyway, so the Rashbis gives a fancy explanation, and the Bnei Yeshua as well, but it could be the Mandani Yontif is right, that you don't need a fancy explanation. They just don't say anything, because all vegetables are dumb unless you say anything. So once we pass like a Rehuda, there's no need to say anything. Not because there's no nafkamina for us. Okay, let's go by during the Gemara. Yeah.
How do they know it's cooked in the Rif? They just assume.
He assumes.
If it's chai, can you say it's covered by kemah? And the Rif already told you that the halakha by kemah is only when it's not derech la'atokah. That's going to be shakal. So normally, it would be a dump.
Interesting. I hear. Maybe he already covered it. That's nice, Pshat. Maybe you already covered it. The Rif Paschke, the Kamach was Hadam. No, the Rif Paschke, no.
It's only Shabbat when it's not there.
No, that's not called covering it. Come on. No, that's not explicit enough to cover it.
Didn't the Rambam Paschke on Kamach Shahakol?
The Rambam Paschke on Kamach Shahakol, and so did the Rif.
Says when it's not,
right.
It's not there.
Right, there's a debate whether that's for the same reason as Ram Nachman or not. Yeah, but that, you can't say because the diuk of something else, you already covered it. That's not mistaken. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Amar Vashi, similar story in terms of the journey, not in terms of the halacha. Kiyavina be'rukhana arvelan tafshilut silka d'lamashvei kemcha v'rukhra d'amad lifta mashvei kemcha tvei v'rukhra zonas. When we learn be'rukhana, he said the selek stew, where you only put in a little... flour is Hadama, but the lefes stew, where you put in a lot of flour, is Mizonos. Hadama, Edevini, Barbi, Hadama, but then he changed his mind and said they're both Hadama. Why do they put in a lot of flour? Lidbuke, Biyamav, they only for Lidbuke for consistency, and therefore that doesn't count as Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechamesha Saminim. Okay, and we discussed this earlier. Amar Chista. Rav Chista gives you a tangent here, some health advice. Tasha Shal Trudin. A trudin does not mean what we call terid. In modern Hebrew, terid is spinach, yeah. Right? But in the Gemara, terid means selik. It's a kind of beet. Yafal alev v'tov le'inayim. Mekolshkin le'inayim. It's good for your lev and le'inayim, and for sure for your stomach. Amar abayi v'hudi yosva v'etafi v'tov toch. That's only if it sits on the stove and makes the sound toch toch by boiling, by the sound of boiling. You have to boil it well. Amra Papa, Shifli Maida Silka Kaselka, we learned this as well. Maida Lifta Kalifta, Maida Kulushal Shlaki, Kukulushlaki. Obviously, the soup of Selik is like Selik, of Lefet is like Lefet, and all the vegetables like all the vegetables. By Rav Papa, let's remember what he meant by this. Machloksin the Bra'an Ritva, and everyone else. Everyone else says he meant if you drink the broth, that is Hadama. You eat the broth, that's Hadama. Except for the Ritva says, no, the broth is Shahakal. It just meant it's if you eat it with the vegetables, it's tafel to the vegetables. What we didn't discuss yet is Bayra Papa Maya de Shivsa Mahu. What about the dill soup? Lemtuke Taima of the Olavuri Zuma of Dila. Do you make this dill Lemtuke Taima to sweeten it or Lavuri Zuma to remove the, what's a good word for Zuma? What?
So kind of a spoilage.
The impurity. Bitterness.
The bitterness, the what? The right. Is it in order to improve it or just to remove the bad stuff? We'll have to figure out what that means in a second. So what does that what's the question? The question is what's the question? The question is why do we put dill into the why do we put dill in our soup, in our stew? Do we put dill to add a good taste? Mm-hmm. In which case, if we put dill to add a good taste, then if we make dill soup, it should get a good taste of dill and it should be Hadama. Or no, the reason we put dill is to take out the bad taste. It neutralizes the bad taste. But if you just make dill soup, then you haven't really made a ta'am, a good ta'am in this soup, and then it should be shackled. Toshma, Hashem is Mishanasa Tam the Kedera. Dill, once it already gives its taste to the stew, it loses its taste itself. All the taste goes into the stew. Ein Bamisham Truma, if it's Truma, no longer is Kedushas Truma. The Einam Atama Thomas Ochlin, no longer Bekabal Thomas Ochlin. Shma Minalim Tuke Taima of Dila. Shma Mina. So we deduce from this that it says it gives its taste to the stew. It doesn't say it absorbs the Zuma from the stew. It says it gives its taste. That shows that Dill gives a good taste. I mean, it's not from this halacha of Truma and Thomas Ochlin, just agav of Truma and Thomas Ochlin, this this Mishnah, which is talking about Truma and Thomas Ochlin, which is not our point, says Nasna Tam L'Kedera. If it says Nasna Tam L'Kedera, then that proves Lentuke Taima. That's what Rashi says. The last words of Rashi in this part of the sugya, in the sugya, midikotani misha Nasna Tam, Shmamina, L'Taima, Avidas, instead of Mishnas Atam, having nothing to do with the actual halachos, that proves that dill gives taste. If dill gives taste, then dill soup should be hadama. That's how Rashi and most Rishonim read this Gemara.
Couldn't Mishnas Atam just be a shear? If our question is, what are you putting the taste in? The way that we're reading our sugya is, what are you putting the taste in for? To add a positive thing or to take away a negative thing? If Mishnas Matama is just, if you left it in long enough such that its taste went in, you could still read it both ways.
No, because agav, you learn that its taste goes in.
But what would it look like for it to be Mavir Zoma?
That it absorbs the bad chemicals. Right? Do you put dill in to absorb the bad chemicals or to add good chemicals? For this mission, we prove it adds good chemicals, and therefore the soup is Hadama. That is the way most Rishonim read it. Chaim, any other chance, please? Except for the Ra on the Ritva. Why? Because all the Rishonim say the topic is the bracha on the broth. So the answer is, well, the bracha on the broth only gets Hadama if the ta'am of the dill goes into the broth and makes a delicious dill soup. And that depends whether, in general, apparently people didn't drink dill soup normally. Right? So it depends in general. We add dill as what as an ingredient. Do we do that to add a unique ta'am? Or do we do that in order to take away, to absorb some bad taste? There are things you can put in food that are just like, they take away, and we see they wouldn't even eat the dill afterwards, right? You could throw it out afterwards. The Ra'an the Ritva, though, have to read this totally differently, because according to the Ra'an the Ritva, the question was never the bracha on the whether the broth is hadama. The question is not whether the broth is arshaka, whether the broth is tafel to the to the vegetable or not. So if you look at the Ritva and the Ra'ah, I think I put them both here. They both say similar things. What does he say here? He says, Elam took a time of Maya of the love a shift of bata lemiki chalik. Odimlav Rizuma di day nami of the lomis kasher bishlika. He has a totally different read. Why do you cook the one second. Rashi is okay. Not so explicit. He says, why do you cook dill? Do you cook dill in order to add a taste in order to move the taste from the dill to the soup? Or to remove the bad taste from the dill and to make the dill delicious to eat. So he says, if you cook dill in order to get the taste of the dill into the soup, then afterwards the dill is garbage. Meaning if the dill is just to flavor the soup, then afterwards the dill is garbage. If the dill is garbage, then the dill is shakal, and then the soup is also shakal. If you cook dill also in order to improve the dill, to take away the bad taste from the dill and to make the dill delicious, then the dill will be hadama, and the dill will be hadama, and the soup will be tuffled, and it will also be hadama. So it's just backwards. If I could put this on the board for 1 second. Okay.
what would be Sha'ar Rishonim would say Limtuke Tama equals Me Shivta Hadama. Because it gets, because the,
what did it do with the Rashba?
One second, because the broth gets a good taste from the dill. On the other hand, if you said la'avure zuama, then that would mean me shivta isha hakol, because dill does not give a good taste to the soup. It doesn't give a good taste to the soup. So what's the, give me one second, what's the maskana? The maskana is, what's the proof from the Mishnah in Uktzin? Says Rashi, only from the opening phrase, Mishenasna Tam, proves dill gives taste to the soup. Proves that it gives the taste to the soup, and since it gives the taste to the soup, therefore, Meshivsa is Hadama. However, yeah?
According to the Rashba, we talked about the difference between the Mangpeirot and Shlokos.
Uh-huh.
According to the Rashba, that's this kind of only works according to the Rosh. That the reason that Meshlokos are different than...
No, even the Rashba has to admit that it's only if the soup gets the taste of the vegetable.
Why? I mean, he just said what you're able to do, though. It doesn't it's a question of the
house. No, but I think it goes without saying that you're not going to take some liquid and say a dog that doesn't taste like a vegetable. If I put the vegetable in a, you know, in a, you know, a sealed bag and cooked it in water, and the water stayed the same, no one's going to say, you say Hadama.
But the Rashba didn't have to do with case. It just had to do with what the ergel of what you're doing.
No, but I think it goes without saying. The Rashba just saying there's big taste and there's a more significant taste and a less significant taste. Everyone agrees if it doesn't taste like the vegetable, why would you say Hadama? That seems to be just like, otherwise you don't get off the ground.
So what's the machlokus then?
Between?
The Rashba and the Rosh.
The machlokus is whether squeezing is considered a real taste or not. But everyone is cooking is a real taste. Machlokus is more about the squeezing. What do they say? They say the opposite. Me shivsa is shahakol, because the shevis itself is shahakol after losing its taste. Or do you say no? Lavuri zuma means me shivsa is hadama, because the taste of sheves improves. It loses its zuma. Improves after cooking. So the sheves is hadama, and if the sheves is hadama, then the soup is tuffle to the sheves, and soup is tuffle to the sheves. And then what's the maskana? Sorry, the maskana is, the proof is from the end of the end of the Mishnah. What does the end of the Mishnah say? Once you cooked the sheves, it loses its taste. From the end of the Mishnah, after cooking, sheves loses its taste, which means the opposite maskana, that me shivsa is shahakol, the exact opposite maskana. So, depending on what your assumptions are, you get the opposite maskana here, meaning which ways, again, for Rashi, the suffix was, does it give a good taste, and the other Rishon, does it give a good taste to the soup or not? For the, on the Ritva, the suffix was, does it get a, have a good taste after cooking or not? Because the soup is tuffel to it, and we want to know what broth of the Shevis itself is. So that's two opposite ways of reading this Gemara.
How does the taste of the Shevis improve after you cook it?
Lavuri Zuma. Cooking takes away the Zuma of the Shevis.
Not the Shevis of the broth.
Exactly. It takes away the Zuma of the Shevis. True, there's the other Rishonim could theoretically also say that
they so desire. Because the Shevis itself is shackled, Meshach says shackled on its own, and it's just, and Shevis itself is shackled. Not because the Shevis is shackled.
Well, because if the Shevis was not dumb, it would be tuffle to the Shevis.
You wouldn't have to make a rakhado.
Right. correct. Meaning,
why can't you make a broth on the dill and then emotzi your broth?
Because the dill is shakal, so.
Right. If your dill is shakal, your broth is shakal. So make a broth on the dill and you have to be emotzi your broth.
But the broth would still be shakal.
But it's also shakal if the dill is hadamah. If the shevis itself is hadamah.
No, your assumption is you're eating it together.
So now you're saying two brothels. You're saying two shackles?
No. You eat it all together.
Yeah.
So if it's on Tukit time, you just say shackle on the whole thing. If it's Lavuri Zuma, you say Adam on the whole thing.
Right.
Okay. The Machloka says, do you say that the cooking improves taste of the soup, or cooking doesn't? I shouldn't. Okay, not okay. No, we already have enough on the board. Okay, fine. Let's go. Next Gemara, big Gemara. Says the Gemara. Amar Chibar Ashi, some yerses have Amar Rav. Oh, sorry, one thing I want to point out is that some of the Achronim, a bunch of the Achronim use the Sugya of Meshivsa in two ways. The Achronim ask a kash against the Shudder Rush. Remember the Shudder Rush says, Meshlokos is only, obviously they're not the Rav, they're everyone else. Meshlokos is only a Dhamma if your intention is for the vegetables, not if your intention is for the broth. But Meshivsa is Hadhamma, and your intention is clearly for the broth because the vegetables are garbage afterwards. So isn't this a stira gemura to the Shudder Rush? So all the Chronim asked, isn't this a stira gemura to the Shudder Rush? And the basically the answers, which are very similar, are either Tila Dominant and the Base Mayor. They say, no, this case is different than the Shudder Rush's case. Because Shivsa is unique. Why? Because Shivsa, dill, not so many people eat like some dill. You don't munch dill so much. So the dill soup is actually better than dill, ishtani lamal yusa, unlike all the other cases that the Rosh was saying, or you could say because you plant dill in order to make soup of it, because no one eats dill. But the Rosh was talking about things that you plant to eat themselves. So maybe here you have to modify the Shut Rush. Either say the Shut Rush was only when it didn't get better, the soup wasn't better than the original product, or only when the soup was not the intended way to use the original product. They also use this, the Panamiris uses Akasha on all of us who make Shahakol on tea and coffee for that matter. Why do we make Shahakol on tea and coffee? It should be like dill soup, according to most Rishonim. You throw out the dill, you eat the soup, you say Hadama. You throw out the tea leaves, tea bag, you drink the tea, why isn't it Hadama? And the two main answers are, which we had discussed at the time, are the what the Shut Panim Heroes brings up, and the Base Mayor also says, no, because dill you could eat raw, but tea you could eat the dill. It's not as delicious as dill soup, but dill is edible, while tea leaves are not edible at all, so since they're not edible at all, they're just not a free. Or, because dill soup is a food, but tea is a drink, and drinks are shahakol. That's what the Tila Dama basically says, in different words, as we discussed earlier. Okay, I want to go by turn. Amar Vashi, Chibar Ashi, some of your sons have Amar Rav, Pas Tznuma B'Kar V'Vokar Le'amotzi. Pas Tznuma in the bowl, you say Hamotzi. Okay, what does the word Tznuma mean?
Dried out.
Rashi's Tznuma means dried out, What pasuk does he use to prove that?
Shibolim.
Because in Paro's dream, tsnumos dakos, they were dry and scrawny. Mm-hmm. Right? So tsnuma might mean dry, and Rashi on Chumash says, or Rashi here, Rashi on Chumash says, because tsunma means like rocks. So it was dry as a rock. Okay, then why would you put it in the Ka'ara? To soften it up. You would put in some warm liquid. Okay, there's just, I don't think it affects the halacha, but there's a machlokas what the word tsnuma means. The Aruch has two deos, and the Radak in his dictionary has two deos about the pasuk in Miketz. One day is like Rashi, that means hard. The other daya, says the Radak and the Aruch, is that tsnuma just means small pieces. Tsnuma means small. And what is Paro's dream? Tsnumos dakos. They were small and very small. They were exceedingly small. So is that Paro's wheat was hard or that it was small? So it's machlokas. Rashi is one daya, but in the Aruch, Sefer Aruch, and the Sefer Shrashim of the Radak under the entry Tsunma, they have two deos. Okay, but either way, for our purposes, it comes out the same. Because it means small, right? For Rashi, also the point is that it's small. Whether it's hard or small, in the end, they're small pieces. Because when you put your pas tsunma in the Ka'ara in order to soften it, you break it into small pieces, which Rashi also admits. So either way, you have small pieces of bread in the Ka'ara. Mevarchel of Hamotzi, you say Hamotzi on it. Okay, you say Hamotzi. Pshat, what's he trying to tell us? You say Hamotzi as opposed to Mizonos. You say Hamotzi, not Mizonos. And what sugya would this tie into? Right, chavitza, right? This is tying the chavitza and everything ties there. This would be a continuation of chavitza sodia. Past tsnuma in the ka'ara, you should know is hamotzi, not mazonos, and it's a continuation of the chavitza sodia. If I stopped here, everyone admits that's what we would think, right? And then you'd ask, so why is it hamotzi and not, and why is it hamotzi and not mazonos? Why is it not like some of the cases there, which we thought, for example, the last leaf who were in Kazayas, etc., all those chavitza sugyas, why was it not like some of those sugyas, or ain, what was the lashon on Amud Aleph? What? Ain prusas kayamos, etc. So, that all the Rishonim here deal with, maybe because, anyone? Okay, the Rush, I think, says it pretty nicely here. The Rush says it pretty nicely here. Says the Rush, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel has Teresa Dinama. If it has Teresa Dinama, then it will still be Hamotzi. Or, the Rush says, according to what I said, based on Rini Yona, that depends on the that it depends on the circumstances. Here, it was just pieces of bread. They weren't cooked and they weren't combined into anything else. And therefore, if it's not nidbak like chavitza, and it's not cooked like the brison of an aleph, then even without Teresa Dinema, it is still hamotzi. Okay. What?
Maybe like it wasn't edible, then it became edible again.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, in any case, it's hamotzi. Why do all the Rishonim not want to interpret Rav Chiya Bar Ashi that way? Next, you mean the next line, right? Upliga de Rav Chiya, it's against Rabbi Chiya. The Ama Rabbi Chiya, Tzarcha Tichla Bracha Ema Pas. You have to finish the bracha with finishing the bread. Meaning, you have to break the bread as you finish the bracha. Motzi lecha minha aretz. Right? And that means that you have to break it when you finish the bracha. Not before the bracha. But pas tsnuma b'kara. Remember, whatever tsnuma meant, it meant small pieces. L'maisa. Was broken before the bracha. Now, if he argues on Rabbi Chiya, then that would mean Rabbi Chiya would have to say anything broken before the bracha is mazonos. anything broken before the bracha is mazonos? That's going too far. We know that's not true. We know from Lamed Chesem and Beis, right? Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, that even if it's broken beforehand, even pieces are motzi. Okay, when are pieces are motzi? Might depend, because I use less than exayas, if it's teresa de nema, not teresa de nema, if it's cooked, or if it's smushed into a new dish, or if it's by itself. But all those, right, liket nikulam kazayas, like, we know that that's not true. So that's why all the Rishonim say that, no, there obviously must be something else going on here. It can't be that Rav Chiya Barashi says Hamotzi not Mazonos, and then Rav Chiya says no, it's Mazonos. Because then Rav Chiya is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And Rav Chiya cannot be ridiculous. So then what's the Machlokas? I mean, obviously, Rav Chiya must just mean that it is all bread is Hamotzi. Everyone agrees all bread is Hamotzi. But Rav Chiya says, however, lechatchila, you should say hamotzi on unbroken bread. And then let's just read Rava. Rava goes even farther. Maskvla Rava, maishna tsnuma dlo mishum deki kalya bracha pshuta kalya. And now it's pretty explicit what he means, right? Why not? Or no, why not pas tsnuma? Because when you finish the bracha, it's already broken. Alapas nami, or shleima nami, some people say, he gummer pusa gummer. Even according to you, you break it as you say haaretz. When you finish the bracha, it's still broken. What's the difference between broken before the bracha or during the bracha? Either way, that's no good. Elo, I'm a Rav and Baruch HaKamotzeya. No, Rav says, you're right, but take it further. You should finish the bracha and then break the bread. That way the bracha is complete. When you finish the bracha, it's still on a whole bread. Nardoy avdi kravchia for abanan avdi kirava and amar avina amar liaim. My mother said, Avucha, your father, meaning he was orphaned, but his mother told him, his father, avid kravchia, the amar avchia tzach shetich lebracha mapas, for abanan avdi kirava, but the other rabbis do like, Rava, helchasa kirava, the amar avchia kirava, say, the halach is very clear, like Rava, the varech v'chakaf, both say. Now, here we cannot interpret avchia bar ashi the way we thought we could. Right, so we have to figure out some other way to interpret him. So, what's the other way to interpret it? It means everyone agrees Pasnumikar is Hamotzi. So, what was Rav Chiya Bar Ashi saying that was objectionable to Rav Chiya? Let's just start putting this. If here is Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. And here is Rabbi Chiya. So the pshat is that he says that broken bread is hamotzi. And Rabbi Chiya say, no, you can only say hamotzi if you finish by breaking the bread. Broken bread is mazonos. But that can't be. Because it's against too many sugyas. Mm-hmm. So we have to come up with something else. So what is this something else we have to come up with? What prop might you have to add to Rav Chiya Bar Ashi's case?
Another loaf of bread.
Other bread. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. In the Lashon of the Ra'ah, he might have a little first. Maybe you have to say, who's the first one to say that we encountered, say there was other bread? Tosos. Says Tosos. Interesting, by the way. Tosos on our daf has a different shot than the other versions of Tosos. Tosos on Rush and Tosos of Yehuda Chassid say like the Rush. Okay. They're similar. Tosos on our daf adds something, right? He says that no, he has pas. Everyone agrees what's the case. Yesh befanav pas tenuma vit shalim. He has a pas tenuma and a whole bread. And what's the machlokes? Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says, mevarech. And of course, b'di evid, you're yotzei the hamotzi on everything. It's all hamotzi. Question is which one to pick. Mevarech al pas hatenuma. Well, Rav Chiya says, no, you have to work on a sholem because you have to finish the bracha as you break your bread. Okay, now what is Tosa's slight problem with this? Really, they argue whether a shalim is better or not?
It's just following the Gemara.
So I'm listening. But how about Amud Beis? Now, this depends a little how you interpret Amud Beis, but it seems pretty clear that Tosa says, but Lekuliyama, what does Tosa say? The Kuliyama Shlema Adif. Everyone agrees, wait, I know we haven't gotten them, we still use Amud Beis. Everyone agrees, all else being equal, Shalim is Adif for sure. A big Shalim loaf is better than a small piece. So the Kasha is Lekuliyama Shalim Adif, right? So, what does he have to add? That l'kuli al shalom adif, but the pas snuma is chaviv. Because what he has to add two things, which is chaviv. He likes the pas snuma better. Why does he like the pas snuma better? Tosas doesn't say. After all, Rashi dried out bread that I sort of rehabilitate versus a fresh loaf of bread. Not sure why I'd like the pasta snuma better. I have no idea if toast means everyone always likes pasta snuma better. You know, what do you put in the car with? Or what do you put in the car with, right? If I put in the car with hot water, ech. If I put in the in the ka'ara with some delicious soup or something, then already, what? No, but we're not getting it there.
No,
right?
Correct,
except that Tosel will say that's objective chashivas, not just chavivas. Anyway, so this is, I don't know if Tosel means pasta snuma is always chaviv, because I don't know the recipe for pasta snuma. Maybe it's French toast or something. I mean, it's not French toast, but, you know. Maybe, or if Tosel, you know, in this particular case, the pasta snuma, he makes sound like pasta snuma in general was chaviv. I don't know what he thought the recipe for pasta snuma was. I also don't know if he agreed with Rashi, snuma means dry. It's a little more schwach, you have to say, but they put in the ka'ur with really delicious, sauce. If you say pasnuma just means small pieces, then I could see that small pieces in a ka'ura, even a very basic recipe, might be more of a delicacy than just tam a loaf of bread, which is an everyday occurrence. But somehow, which is chaviv, and the machlokas is whether chaviv is adif or shalem is adif. That's the machlokas. Okay, and we would paskin, like Rava, that shalem is adif. And not only shalom adif, but don't break it till you finish the bracha. That is Tosfos. The Rashba says a little differently. What time is it? We have 1 minute. Who should we discuss first? Maybe we'll go in order then. What does the Rush say? The Rush says he doesn't want to make another prop. The Rush does not want to make another prop. Right? That is the, he doesn't want to make an okimta. Tosos makes an okimta. Okay, maybe Chaviv is not an okimta. Tosos just says if you knew what, but the Rush doesn't want to make an okimta. So what does the Rush say? You are so name it into the ka'ari. He makes a little okemta, right? Mifarer hapas hashta letok ha-ka'ara. It's a little okemta, right? Small okemta, right? He's now mifarer the pas into the ka'ara. And what's the machlokes? Rabbi Chia says, nope. You should not be mefarer until the end of the bracha. And then Rava comes and says, not the end of the bracha, after the bracha, right? And what does Rav Chiya Barashi thinks? He thinks, no, you can. Either way, it's hamotzi. It's hamotzi either way. The question is lechatchila, right? No, you can be mefarer right before the bracha. You can be mefarer right before the bracha. What's the machlokes? Everyone agrees that you need to make the bracha on shalim. The question is, when does it need to be shalim? Just like Rabbi Chiya and Rava argue, does it need to be shalom as you finish the bracha? Does it need to be shalim when you say ha'aretz or after you say ha'aretz? Rabbi Chiya said, it needs to be shalim when you say ha'aretz. Rava says, no, it needs to be shalim when you finish saying ha'aretz and only then break it. So, Rav Chiya asks you the third sheet. It needs to be shalem when you start preparing to eat. As long as it's shalom, you start preparing to eat, and then you refire into the ka'ara, and then you get it ready, and then you say the bracha, that counts as the ma'ila of shalom. Why the ma'ila of shalom? Let's assume, because a bracha should always be the greatest praise of Hashem, this is all chachila, and a davar shalom is better. And therefore, it's a davar shalom. It doesn't have to be a davar shalom when you say the bracha. It has to be a davar shalom that you're saying the bracha on, but we take into account the whole, and here it's a matter of timeline. What's the issue? He says that counts as shalem, because it started the meal shalem, let's say. Nope, it only counts as shalem if it's shalem bishas bracha. Okay, so far we have two deos here. Besides the pshat, which we utterly rejected, as to what the machlokas is, and both of them agree it's about the maila of shalim. I mean, that seems pretty clear from the Gemara. Can Rav Chiya bar Ashi really deny the maila of shalim? Natos says he just thinks chavev beats shalim. And then Rav Chiya says, no, shalim is so important it beats everything. Not everything we'll see in Amid Beis, but most things. Or the rush is much more ridiculous than the lashon. There's no added prop. It has to be shalim. Because when does it have to be shalim? Rav Chiya Rashi, it has to be shalim when you start, not when you say the bracha. Shalim, prepare and say the bracha. Well, Rav Chiya says, no, it has to be shalim when you say the bracha. And Rava says it even has to be shalim when you finish the bracha. So that is a very, very, very meduic, much more meduic in the lashon of Rav Chiya. He's talking about timing. Yeah. He's not talking about different mindless. Where does Rav Chiya say tzarich the tichla bracha mapas? What does it do with shalim versus chaviv? Okay, let's say we understand that he meant even against chaviv. But according to the Rush, it's much more nicha. Everyone agrees you need shalim. Question is, when do you need shalim? And there are three opinions when you need shalim, and we paskin like Rava. Okay, we'll have to get to the other deos, Amir Tzashem, next time.
It's funny, nowadays you make dafka croutons out of bread. You cut it up and put some oil and spices.
Recording stopped.
Make it dry and hard.